Well, good morning, Champion Forest. It's good to be back here. I get to preach here occasionally. It's a thrill every time I get to be a part of this service here at North Cline and a part of the church, Champion Forest. I didn't really share this in the first service, but we really feel like Champion Forest is our sending church. We've served really the last 15 years in the United Kingdom. The last five of those have kind of been back and forth because we moved back when COVID started, but we view you as our sending church, and obviously these deep relationships that we've had all these years have been such a blessing to us and such a gift to the Lord that he gave to us through you guys. So thank you. And Stephen didn't mention, you know, some of our more competitive things that went on at camp. In the first service, he mentioned water polo, and I am competitive. But apparently not enough. It's an honor to be back here, and we're going to look at the Word of God together today. And I want to read this passage over us collectively. The words will be on screen, or you can open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. I'm going to read that over us, and then I'm going to kind of walk through, I feel like the Lord is giving me this passage of Scripture and this challenge from the Word to challenge you as a church and myself personally and our family. And so I want to read this over us, and then I want to unpack this kind of verse by verse, and then we will see what the Lord does. All right, so let's read this together. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Verse 4 says, "And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" Verse 6 says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he'd taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Go.'" Would you bow your heads with me? And here's what I would love for you to do as we open our time in prayer. I would love for you to envision or somehow capture in your mind this scene, this throne room. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. God, we recognize you today as King of kings, Lord of lords. And Spirit of the living God, we pray that you would capture our hearts today, that at the reading of your word and the proclaiming of your word and the meditating on your word, and even in prayer times like this one or the ones to come in this service, God, that you would so capture our hearts and our minds that we will never be the same as we gaze and look upon the wonder of your holiness and who you are. And so, Spirit of the living God, would you do a deep work in us? Would you change us? as your people, and would you use us until our last breath, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I will say this about Freedom Weekend. Freedom Weekend was amazing. 1,200 students gathered in worship, 1,200 students hearing the teaching of God's word, 1,200 students having an opportunity to receive from the Lord and be poured into by a great group of folks. Your youth staff across the global campus, they're amazing. They're an incredible group of people leading and investing in the next generation. So thank you, Champion Forest, for your history of caring about the next generation. I just wanted to say that before we jump in here. I want to, I really want to unpack these kind of word by word, verse by verse here in Isaiah chapter 6. And the first thing I want you to see is, and really the first word is the word recognize. And I'm inviting you today to recognize the holiness of God. For my eyes have seen the King, Isaiah said. Man, I have visions of Tolkien and you know, Lord of the Rings. And just when you hear the majesty and the wonder and the glory and the splendor of God in this text, it's hard to walk past it. And I want to challenge you this morning, have you seen the King in all his splendor, majesty, and glory? Have you really seen the King? Have you recognized him in all of his holiness? There's some imagery here in the early part of this passage that is so profound. The train of his robe filled the temple. The robe in biblical language represents his mantle of authority, who he is. So this robe filled the entire temple. It's the authority of God, the wonder of God, the majesty of God. The train of his robe filled the temple. The other thing that really jumps off the page is the posture of the angels, their humility, their reverence, the covering, the steps they take to honor the King of Kings. And so the description is that they covered their eyes and they flew one and to the other and spoke boldly, holy, 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 three times for emphasis. There's only two places in Scripture where that's done. The word holy in Isaiah is spoken 30 different times in reference to the character and the majesty and the wonder of who God is. The word holy is spoken 637 times all throughout the Old and New Testament about the character and the wonder and the majesty of who God is. The only attribute of God given this much text, if you will, and the only attribute of God given the threefold repetition of holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. Have you recognized the holiness of God? Do you see the King like Isaiah sees him? Is there a sense of reverence and wonder at this King of Kings and Lord of Lords? When we hear the word holy or holiness, a lot of things could come to our minds and into our hearts. But what the Scripture is saying is, this King is set apart. He's entirely morally pure. All the time and in every way, God is holy. This is not just a mere aspect of who he is or what he does. It's the essence of who he is. God is holy. Have you seen the King in all his holiness? God is holy in justice. He's holy in love. He's holy in mercy. He's holy in power. He's holy in sovereignty, holy in wisdom. He's holy in patience. He's holy in anger. He's holy in grace. He's holy in faithfulness. He's holy in compassion. God is holy. He is holy. Have you seen this King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King Jesus in all his holiness? I had the privilege in some previous church ministry years ago to sit under the teaching of one of the great revivalists in America. This is back in the 80s and the 90s, so I'm old as dirt. But you know, the idea that I had the privilege of sitting under one of the great revivalists by the name of Manly Beasley. He was from Euless, Texas, and had seven diseases simultaneously that would take anybody's life, and lived for decades, actually. And God used him in a powerful way to speak revival into our nation back in the 80s and the early 90s. And Manly says this about the holiness of God: a glimpse of God will save you. But when you gaze at him, it will sanctify you. Have you seen God in all his wonder and holiness? Have you seen the majesty of God? Have you paused today to recognize the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The second word in this passage that I want us to really dive into is the word repent. We don't do this very much. It's not an easy talk. It's not a fun thing to go, well, you're a dreadful sinner and you're worldly and you need to repent. But the reality is, when you gaze upon the wonder and the splendor and the majesty and the holiness of God, the next moment, it helps us see who we are in light of who he is. And so, have you repented of your sin and worldliness? This is what Isaiah, when pressed into this moment, in this heavenly vision, seeing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he says, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. In seeing God in all his holiness, Isaiah sees himself in all his brokenness. And in seeing himself, this holiness of God mandates purification. And so he says, repent, repent. What does repentance even mean to us in the 21st century? It's not a casual glance at our sin and being sorry for maybe some choice we made or some decision we made or some attitude we have. Repentance is sincere remorse, but it's more than just I'm sorry or I'm sorry I got caught. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind and a change of direction. My father was a colonel. He flew B-52s and served his country for 20 plus years. And so I'm never late for anything, okay? Just so you know, growing up in a house like that, I'm always early. Stephen told me to be here about 9. I was here at 8:45 because that's just my idea. It's embedded in me, okay? And the best snapshot of repentance for me is the military term or phrase, to the rear march. It's not about face. About face is just turning into a different direction. But to the rear march is to turn, but to go that direction. And so when Isaiah recognizes the holiness of God, he falls in repentance on his knees and on his face, and he says, woe is me, for I'm a man undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And he repents. He turns, and he walks towards the King of Kings. It's a posture. It's a beautiful picture of what to the rear march means. It's a beautiful picture of what repentance really is. It is sincere remorse. It is a change of heart, mind, but it's also a change of direction. That you are going your way, making your decisions based on your wants and needs. And when you see the King in all his glory and wonder and awe and holiness, you move towards the King with a repentant heart. There's so many powerful words in this section of this passage. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he'd taken with tongs from the altar. So there's an altar in this image today. Well, what's an altar for? It's for something to be sacrificed. So something, someone, and we know who, had to pay the price for your sin and for my sin, for your disobedience and my disobedience, for my propensity to lean towards the things of the world rather than the things of God. And so something was sacrificed. There's the word atoned there, where when the angel touches his lips, it says your lips, he touched his mouth, behold, he touched your lips, your guilt is taken away and your sin is paid for, atoned. Well, we know where that comes from in our modern moment. As we look backwards to the cross, we see the cross as Isaiah was looking forward to a new king and a new kingdom. We're looking backwards. We have the blessing of the cross. We recognize what atonement means. You know what it means? It means you're clean. You're clean because of the blood of Jesus. What a moment. Do you remember your moment of salvation? When God, by his supernatural power and grace and goodness, touched your heart with the cross and death and burial and resurrection of Christ and rendered you clean. Man, I remember it. I remember it like it was yesterday. August 1978, 16-year-old dude, crazy, as far from God as you can get, on the side of a mountain in Colorado. Had no idea why I was even there or how I got there. I mean, I know how I got there. I got there in a van with a bunch of guys from Young Life, but no real understanding of what I was doing. I just wanted to go party in the Rockies. And when I'm on the side of this mountain and the Spirit of God collides with my life, and I went to bed a desperate, lost sinner, but arose the next day having prayed to receive Christ that night, I was clean. Do you remember that moment of your salvation and your cleansing? Listen, that moment should mark you for the rest of your life. Do you remember that moment? I'm praying, and I've been praying over you and over this moment. I'm praying this moment marks you for the rest of your life, that you will forever see the King in all his wonder, glory, and holiness and splendor, and repent moment by moment of our propensity to lean towards the world and worldliness. Listen, salvation is a moment in time. For me, it was August of 1978. Surrender, though, is moment by moment for the rest of your life until the last breath that you take. Create in me a clean heart, Psalm 51 says, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What a gift. Cleansing, freedom, life, life eternal, hope, peace. Do you remember? Do you remember? Listen, artists and authors have tried to capture, like for centuries, have tried to capture this moment, this scene in Scripture. I'm not sure any of us really understand the holiness of God. and the depth of his goodness to all of us, to cleanse us and offer us a life of holiness and forgiveness, following Jesus until our last breath. Repent of your sin and worldliness. The third picture in this passage is this response from Isaiah. And the word I want you to hold on to is respond. And it's responding to God's invitation. What does it say here in verses 8 and 9? Verse 8 says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying," now God is speaking, "whom shall I send?" It's no longer the angels. This is God Almighty. This is King. This is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, it's as if Isaiah, caught up in this vision, caught up in this moment, raised his hand and said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go." He said, "Go." Listen, holiness, the holiness of God, what God does as we rend our heart in repentance, as we lay our lives broken and spilled out before the Lord, and we say, "God, I'm yours. I repent in humility. I repent for my day-to-day pursuit of treasure and pleasure and the things of this world. God, I repent of my past. It's done. I repent of this present moment." As we do that, holiness, and his holiness imputed to you through the cross of Christ and the resurrection, holiness motivates commission. Listen, we have a job to do. God's given you and given me a job. It's called the Great Commission. Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." And so my question for you is, are you willing to raise your hand today, respond to God's invitation like Isaiah did? Listen, I checked this not every day. I have checked it the last 2 days. I started as a habit during COVID. I would go to Worldometers and just kind of track what was going on, because we left England. We'd been on the ground there for nearly a decade, and we left England. And so I'm looking at England on the Worldometer, how many people have passed. And, you know, and so I've just had a habit of clicking on Worldometers and seeing statistics. And here's what the statistics say today. There are 8.2 billion people on the planet right now. 8.2 billion. Missiologists say 4 billion people, 4 billion, half the planet, have never heard the name Jesus or Isa, depending on where you live. 4 billion people have never met anybody with a book like this. 4 billion. When you add up the rest of the population of the world that doesn't know Jesus, it's nearly 6 billion people around the world that don't know Jesus. And so God's invitation, this mandate for holiness, recognizing who he is and recognizing who you are in him, motivates us to this commission. And listen, the single greatest commodity that you possess, a lot of you might think it's your time, which I used to think that's your single most important commodity. But I actually think the single most important commodity in your life right now is your attention. Because we've got so many messages and signals coming at us from all the screens we stare at that we've lost our focus on the King and his kingdom. on his holiness and who he is. And then right behind that, your next greatest commodity is your time. So if God could grab your attention today and you could margin your time to invest in the King and his kingdom, then oh, what a moment. What could this moment be? I told the students yesterday that I believe this is the moment. I think we've got 18 to 24 months to see God raise up a generation of Christ followers that would sacrifice their treasure and even their life for the gospel and take that gospel to their neighbors and the nations. And I believe, well, we're going to look at some scripture in a moment, that we won't see Christ come again until every person has a chance to hear about Jesus. The nations. And so you've got these two great assets, your attention and your time. And so what's God inviting you into? Go. He's inviting you into go. He's inviting you into being right where you are. Right in your neighborhood, right in your co-work space, right in your school. Go, be, and serve. Go, be, and serve. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. This generation around us that's watching the church right now, watching the body of Christ right now, they're looking desperately for someone great to follow. We believe it's Jesus. But he's manifesting himself through you, through kindness and generosity and hospitality. Go, be, and serve. Go to your neighbor and go to the nations. Leverage your assets, your attention and your time and your treasure so that the nations might know. Listen to these three or four lines. God in his holiness convicts you. There's no measure of anything I can do to convict you of this moment and the desperate need that we have. God in his holiness convicts you. God in his great love and mercy cleanses us, cleanses you and cleanses me. God in his wisdom calls you. If you're a believer today, if you name the name of Jesus today, he has called you into his great commission. It's the only plan. There's no plan B. It's plan A. And he's calling you. God in his wisdom calls you. And then lastly, God in his power qualifies you. Listen, the enemy, even this morning, as I was praying, the enemy, man, he wants to kick us wherever, kick us and knock us down, right? But it's God's power that qualifies you. There's no measure of your past, if you've been born again, that he remembers. You are clean. You are his vessel. You are his chosen mouthpiece for the neighbors on your cul-de-sac and for the nations. God in his power qualifies you to be his man or his woman for the kingdom until he comes. Listen real quick to these passages in Revelation, just so you can see it again in the New Testament. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne, this is going to look really familiar, stood in heaven with one seated on the throne and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures giving glory and honor and thanks to him who's seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who's seated on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever, ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, we just sang about it, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. One more passage in Revelation. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, every tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. That's the 4 billion who will know him not if we don't raise our hands today and say, here I am, send me. Now listen, I'm not naive enough to think that every person in this room is meant to uproot their lives and move to another zip code or another place on the planet and give your life away. But I am certain today that every person in this room that names the name of Jesus is destined to carry the gospel across the cul-de-sac to their neighbors today, and to your school today, and to your workplace tomorrow. God is inviting you, he's inviting me, to join him in his kingdom activity, to see the nations know him. And it starts right here. Do you have a God-sized dream that's worthy of that king? Do you have a God-sized dream for your life that's worthy of that king? He's the king, and we should be about his kingdom. Have you seen the king today? And will you serve in his kingdom? The king of the universe is waiting for you and for me to walk maybe to an altar or to drop to our knees at our seat. Or tonight, when you lay your head on your pillow and you contemplate the day and all the goodness of God in your life, that you would, as you slide into sleep, you would whisper to the Lord, here am I, send me. I want to start tomorrow, God. I want to be your hands and feet. I want to live my life on mission until you come again. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to invite James and the worship team and the staff of ministers to come down here. And here's what I would love for you to do in a moment. However the Lord has spoken to you today, would you just do business with him, please? Don't give an inch to the enemy to talk you out of anything God might be doing and stirring in your heart, whether that's to join this incredible church and be a part of the mission of God in this community, whether it's to say maybe for the very first time, I don't know you, God. I don't recognize this king. And I need King Jesus in my life. And so maybe that's you, and you need to give your life to Jesus. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Or maybe, just maybe, there's someone in this room that you feel the stirring of God on your life to step into mission. Doesn't mean you have to hop an ocean. although I could use you. But it does mean that you're willing to examine who you are in your day-to-day life, and you're saying, God, I need to be a part of your kingdom work. I need to wake up every day with this vision of the King, and it's going to drive me, God, to live on mission for his kingdom. And that my dream for my life lines up with the wonder and majesty of who this King is. And that we wouldn't give our life away to trinkets and treasure, but we would chase after this King and his kingdom. And so would you stand, and I want to pray over you, and then these guys are going to worship over us. And would you please move and respond to the Lord as he tugs on your heart. So God, we love you. We thank you. God, first of all, thank you for choosing to tap me on the shoulder as a 16-year-old, wayward, lost human, and that you collided with my life and changed the trajectory of my life. And I know that's the same prayer hundreds of people could echo in this room or online. And we say thank you. But God, sometimes we need a reminder of who you are, your transcendency, who you are, your holiness. And God, I pray that this day will mark us for the rest of our lives, and we won't ever forget who you are. And God, it would compel us to live for that King and his kingdom. And so whatever the Lord needs to do in your life, come for prayer, come in brokenness, come in repentance for salvation, come in repentance for just being like soft and stale spiritually. And just ask God to pour out his Spirit on you.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.